Most people alive today learn about what it was like for Jews in Europe during the dark times of the Nazi years, either through gruesome depictions of the Holocaust itself, or from one of the very few accounts of those years outside the concentration camps, the Diary of Anne Frank being the most famous among them. But there's another account of those times, a young woman who, like Anne Frank, died at the hands of the Nazis, and it's a deeper story, told with a raw energy and in painted pictures. German-Jewish painter Charlotte Solomon created an extraordinary set of paintings, unlike anything the world has ever seen. This year marks the 100th anniversary of her birth. Three major books of her work are set to be published, and the first exhibition of all her work together will be mounted in Amsterdam. Her picture story is an important piece of 20th century art. What she documents about Jewish life in the 30s and 40s is a priceless historical document. But the story she tells about her family's insanity and suicide has largely overshadowed her art. Mary Felsteiner, who has long studied Solomon and written about her life and work, says the story is one of a woman furiously creating her art as a way of escaping the evil forces she sees descending onto her life and down upon the entire world.
There's nothing in the history of art like what she did. Nothing before it, nothing since. It's utterly unique because she told a true story in the sense that she drew it from her life as a play, in fact, as an operetta. In an extraordinarily short period of time, not much more than a year, she painted about 800 or more paintings, telling the story of a family, a German-Jewish family in Berlin from before World War I right up until the very present moment. And so as an artwork, it's in multiple scenes. It has beautiful overlays, which have dialogue and description. And also, it even indicates what music you're supposed to be hearing in your mind's ear as you watch it. So it's a multimedia artistic event in two dimensions that would have to spread all over the walls in order to be seen fully. It's almost like a movie.
The experience of suicide and other tragedies in her family, how do you put those into context? Is there a pathology in this family? Was it a reaction to the times? Is there any way even to separate it?
By looking into suicide among Germans and German Jews in that period, I was able to see that Germany was the country in Europe which had the highest suicide rate. And within Germany, that tiny little Jewish population had the highest suicide rate of any population. And within that group, women had the highest suicide rate. Her great-grandmother, her grandmother, her mother, and others, eight people, had committed suicide. Simply shows the pressures on that community at that time where they seemed to be able to move freely within German society, but easily realized that they were hated and suspected. They never told anyone that the deaths were from suicide, including Charlotte herself, never really knew until she was herself a refugee and in her 20s. And as she put it, my life began when I found out that my family members had taken their lives.
Was Charlotte trying to escape this curse? And of course, included in her work is this confession of having killed her grandfather to escape part of the curse of the family, which might have included abuse on behalf of him.
The escape from that legacy was on her part intricately and intimately connected with making art. And that there was pressure from the grandfather, which dismayed and disgusted Charlotta, becomes very clear from the painting. And particularly in a letter that she painted, never intended to send, there was no one to send it to, she confessed to creating an omelet laced with a morphine derivative, Veronol, which she fed to her grandfather. Because, she said, he essentially stood in her mind for everything that was going wrong with humanity. In particular, she called him theater. In other words, he was always play-acting, a man of culture. That was her accusation against him, that he was always claiming things would be all right when surrounded by suicide and genocide. She couldn't stand that theatricality and associated it very closely with the Nazis.
On October 10th, 1943, I believe, she was gassed at Auschwitz. At that moment, I mean, she didn't commit suicide. She was killed by the Nazis. What do you think she thought? That she'd escaped or that she hadn't escaped? I mean, her work poses this frightening question.
Yes, it does. And I think it gives evidence of something that was historically obscured and remains obscure. And that is how attractive suicide could seem in relationship to murder, that is, to being murdered, to being a complete and helpless victim. The Nazis understood this so deeply that they were determined to stop any of their victims from committing suicide because they needed to control the death of their victims. So I think she kept in her mind the possibility that she could control her own end, partly by telling her whole story from the beginning right up until the present moment when she, you know, when she ended the work. But what we've come to understand now, years later, is, I think, the most curious and, in a sense, compelling thing about the work, which is that she was not alone in trying to survive by somehow expressing herself. And people did it in so many small and large ways when you would think the only thing they had in mind was how to get food or whether they would be arrested the next minute. They took somehow to the arts in something that I call creative resistance, which was much more widespread than we have any idea about and are just uncovering in the last decades. She's really the pilot in many ways of that because her work did survive.
Mary, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mary Felsteiner is professor of history at San Francisco State University and author of To Paint Her Life, Charlotte Solomon in the Nazi Era. You can head to our website, thetakeaway.org, for images of Charlotte Solomon's work.